This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
At least you didn't include the whistle in there. Thank God. Rico on vacation. If you want Tiger Talk and my bold proclamation, Odyssey.com Rewind. Kenny, I don't do this to anger you. I don't do this to anger fans. But, man, as optimistic and positive as I was about the Tigers to open the show, as negative as I'm about to be about this, the Elliott Friedman report on Steve Yzerman. Whoa, buddy. I'm going to read it to you. No editorial. I'm just going to read it. And I'm going to give you my thoughts. Then I'll probably turn my microphone off and just tell Kenny, take it to 4 o'clock. Elliott Friedman writes the following. I think he had some interest in Arvidsson. He ended up in Boston. I heard the Wings liked Mason Marshman. Ended up in Seattle. So there were some things that Yzerman wanted to do, but he wasn't able to do. Friedman believes the current direction of the Red Wings will be hard to sell to diehard fans of the Red Wings. I challenge that point. There's plenty of bathwater drinkers in this town. It's a hard sell in Detroit. It really is. It's been too long without the playoffs. The thing about Yzerman is he believes in himself. Even if nobody else believes in what he's doing, he thinks he's doing the right thing, and that is drafting and developing their guys. Now, David, if you would, there is also a piece of this that talked about they wanted a meeting with Ehlers, and he went like this. Wasn't interested. Players don't want to play here. If you could include that, I'd appreciate it. Just copy and paste that in. Look, see, this is a problem for me. Because to accept this is to absolve this. Meaning, if I accept that the only thing we can do in little old poor Detroit is draft and develop, and how could I ever expect more? Then you are absolving the last 7 summers. And I'm including this one because now I feel like a fool ass. They didn't make a big trade. Yet. And what it does really is, if you accept that, then you're basically saying we don't get to expect more of Steve Yzerman. That in essence, not what the money's for. Because you had a Steve Yzerman starting lineup figurine. Or you loved him in NHL 94 when he was just 19C. Like, I don't roll that way. The idea that Steve Yzerman can't broker those conversations is poorly thought of by agents. Hard to deal with. These are things that have been reported. It is not well thought of here. The fact that in the seventh summer, the product on the ice is so boring, so egregious, that you can't get people here is a statement about the failures on its own, in itself. And I understand. We're not Florida. We have a state tax. Noted. I understand that players wanting to go south, it's a little bit of a new thing in hockey. Poverty hockey's caught on. Maybe the NBA guys have it right. Noted. Don't expect us to get every free agent. This isn't 2002. We don't just shake our shoes and a Luke Robitaille falls out. I understand. But the fact that Yzerman essentially got hung up on, hi, it's Steve Yzerman. That's a problem. The fact that Yzerman is now, in essence, backed himself into a corner, I'm going to do it my way. Oh boy, when you've reached my way phase, you know you have a problem. And when Elliot Friedman says it, I'm believing it. The fact that Detroit is not looked as desirable, the fact that Yzerman is not well thought of by agents, hard to deal with, the fact that Yzerman is showing defiance, the fact that, and I'm not being disrespectful, but whether it's an Arvidsson, whether it's a Marshman, whether it is an Ehlers, these are still not A-plus list guys. This isn't like I called Connor McDavid, he sent me to voicemail. No. This isn't even the Noah Dobson thing that you basically didn't participate in. And Dobson chose to go play in Canada with an even worse tax rate. Is this what I have to accept now? Because if you are one of the wing nuts, if you are one of the devotees, you're telling me I have to accept this. Detroit's not desirable. Players want palm trees. Poor Stevie. We're just going to draft and develop. What I would argue is, when I hire the best general manager in the sport, I expect more. Cut through the excuses. What's Scott Harris's excuse? What's Brad Holmes' excuse? Players trip over their dinghies to play in Detroit. Well, football's different. Is it? There's teams in Miami. There's teams in LA, two of them. There's teams in southern states. I don't want to hear it. And look, I understand it's not A-listers, but Trajan Langdon signed players last year. Now, I know this year we've taken a year off from doing anything interesting. But my point is, do you accept what Friedman is saying? Or isn't what Friedman's saying a statement that Yzerman has failed? Now, it doesn't mean that he will fail, but that he has failed. The idea that the Wings, who are one of the 8 or 9 most valuable franchises in the league, original six, newer building, iconic logo, history, right? The top North American franchise. The fact is, the brand is thought of worse now than the day Steve took over. That's failure. The fact that Steve can't get on the phone with people, much less get things done, that's failure. The fact that agents don't think he's easy to work with, that's failure. Newsflash, you have to evolve. The hammer and nail approach, where you're the hammer and every player and the agent are the nail, doesn't work anymore. Player empowerment has even reached the poverty league that is the NHL. Rigidity doesn't work. Don't want to do term. Don't want to pay more than I pay my captain. Don't want to trade any of my prospects. I'll show you. That doesn't work. I mean, the bottom line is, when you look at it, if you can't get a meeting with Nikolaj Ehlers, then what are we doing? If you're thought of as bottom rung, then why is Iserman here? What's the point of any of this?
Yeah, if a player doesn't even want to have a meeting with you, then what are you here for? Your job is to get players and find a way to get them here, and you're not doing that. That's Steve Eisman's failing at every part except drafting. Not failing at that, but that's not winning us anything right now.
No, and look, it doesn't mean it's going to predict the future. What I'm trying to say is there are successes and failures all within the same tenure of coaches, players, executives. It's okay to say that as of today, he's failed. That doesn't mean he'll fail tomorrow. It doesn't mean that he won't eventually turn this thing around. But I'm sorry, the Elliott Friedman report, that's damning. Now, Kenny, I've tried to lay that out. I would love your thoughts. No yelling, but...
No, there's no yelling.
You can yell at me. I just don't want to see you lose your mind.
No, I've already lost my mind and reached the acceptance phase of this. I mean, I told you this last week where I thought, you know, he's going to nickel and dime it at the very end, add no real pieces of meaning, and then that was going to be the offseason plan.
I want to say this to you, and then I'll let you continue. I want to say this for all of Detroit to hear, for all of our massive streaming audience nationwide. I want everyone to hear this. Kenny, you were right and I was wrong. You were right.
You just didn't reach the acceptance phase that I had already.
Because I don't.
And I understand that. I completely get why you thought things were going to turn out differently.
I'm not from here. I don't accept less.
You don't know puck.
No. Oh, no. I'm a complete knob.
No, but it's everything that I thought this offseason was going to be. And he's very rigid. He's very stuck in his own ways in terms of being a GM and how he runs his team. His pro scouting department is not very good. That's why he wasn't able to, A, attract free agents, or B, be able to sign them.
The fact that they put overtures out to Ehlers, and it was like, thanks, but no thanks. Okay.
It's everything that report about him being difficult to deal with. It makes that true. And also, I think the most salient point that you made was this is an original six franchise. This is a franchise that's supposed to have plenty of cachet within the NHL. And to hear that it's in a worse place than it was before he got here, that's damning. That's unacceptable. You're right. He has failed. Now, he could make a couple of big trades and turn this whole offseason around, and that's fine. We change our tune.
Correct.
But where it stands right here, right now, this has been a failure.
I would like to know if it's acceptable to say that as of Monday, July 7th, not predicting the future, not saying it can't get turned around, but as of today with this Friedman report, is it acceptable to say the Steve Eisman tenure has been a complete failure? Because... once again, to summarize what Friedman wrote, nobody wants to play here. Agents don't like Eisman. Calls go unreturned or politely declined, basically like, yeah, well, glad you're interested. I'm not. I got to lace my shoes. And Eisman is entracted that he's going to do it his way, draft, develop. Fair or unfair? And if it's unfair, I need reasons why. I need to know why. Because without Eisman changing, I don't know how this gets better in any relevant term. Meaning, if you have a lifetime contract and you don't care about family members dying by the time you win a Stanley Cup, that's fine if that's your prerogative. But when I hire someone to do a job, look, here's what I'll tell you. Obviously, I'm not going to like conflate these. Every industry has their own time frame. I can tell you that if I took a job in another city and I didn't have the show I was hired to do, minimum, staring eye to eye with the competition, much less beating them, I'd be on the hot seat. That's how my game works. Maybe you're a chef. You go to a new restaurant. If you don't get that turned around in a quarter or two, you're on the hot seat. Food's not better. Food cost is worse. Reviews are bad. You're out. You're a contractor. You're routinely getting outbid. You're getting destroyed. You're not getting jobs. Now, the guys you hire to do the work for you, they're going to other people. You're going to be out of business. Whatever that time frame is, in sports, if I hire you, I don't care if it's to be the GM of Akron football. If you don't have me in a bowl game in 2 years, you're fired. If I hire you to run my baseball team and you don't have me in the playoffs in 4 or 5, you're fired. Pick whatever you want. There's no world where it's acceptable to go 6 years without the playoffs and do nothing in year 7 when it is being reported that basically the brand, it is tarnished. That you are the sad grandfather clock you inherited that you never wanted. It's a relic. Nobody wants to be here. Nobody wants to deal with Iserman. You can't even get a phone call with Ehlers. And quote, the current direction of this team is going to be really hard to sell to fans. So why is it wrong then on July 7th to say that as of today, Iserman's been a complete failure? Doesn't mean he'll be a failure at the end. Maybe he'll turn it around. Maybe by year 9 we'll have something. I don't know. But as of today, what I can't wrap my arms around it is why people get offended by saying what is so clearly obvious. He's failed. He's failed. Laser Beam Iserman was brought here to elevate the brand. And frankly, when you see that, well, it's hard to sell to players. Players don't want to play there. Don't you understand that that is nothing more than a Yelp review of Iserman Cafe? What he's cooked in 6 years is undigestible. Players don't want to eat here. And I will always allow for the comment, of course, well, we have a state tax. I understand that. Don't need this to be the epicenter. But man, if I can't get on the phone with B-level free agents, and I don't think anyone's going to look at an Arvidsson and an Ehlers and a Marshman and term them as A-listers. If I can't get on the phone with the B-squad, that's a bit of an issue. Well, they kind of liked Arvidsson, and he went somewhere else. I mean, what are we describing? Kenny's first crush? Yeah, he really likes Cynthia. One problem. She's in the flatbed of Kenny's best friend's pickup. Like, that's... come on. But that's Kenny. That's not Iserman. That's Kenny. I expect less of Kenny. 248-539-9797. Let's get into it, shall we? Straight to the people. And I'm sorry that took so long, but I mean it when I tell you there's just so much to unpack with that. If you want Tiger Talk, we gave it to you. All positive. Odyssey.com Rewind. Let's go to the people. We'll go to Kevin. He's in Grosse Pointe. Kev, thanks for your patience, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, Mike. No problem. This Friedman report really makes the comments that Larkin made in May on the heels of the Four Nations Cup a lot more interesting to me, because either he's communicating to other players and finding out they don't want to be here, or he's communicating to people and saying this is not the place to be. But certainly it seems like the perception has ramped up since that time, given what Friedman report has said. Also, I think Iserman is empowered to do what he's doing. I don't respect that he took a job where he's in this position, but I think the handcuffs are really put on him, and I'm not letting him off the hook because he shouldn't have done that. But
what handcuffs?
The organization. I don't think Ilitch wants to put a lot of money, time, and effort into this.
Okay, but hold on.
Up Iserman.
Kev, let me say this, because we've gotten about a half a dozen of these calls the last 10 days or so, and I'm yet to get an answer to this. This sport has a salary cap. The Wings do not operate like Anaheim did, $30 million under. They spend their money. They just don't spend it wisely. And we've highlighted that by saying their pro scouting is awful. Now, look, if you want to somehow tell me, look, Mike, they'll spend short-term money, but they don't want to do 7-8-year deals, and that's a organizational thing. You know what, Kev, maybe. We'll have to leave that one in the middle. I can't prove that or disprove it. But Kev, this isn't baseball where there's no cap and you're the Chicago White Sox with, you know, a $10 payroll. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I thought they were operating about 8 to 10 under the mean, but maybe I'm correct in that.
No.
But,
Now, Kev, let's be clear. Last summer, when they had all that cap space, yes, they signed their own people, but then look at the people they brought in. It was a total failure. Now, this year, they have cap space. The Friedman report is telling you they can't get anybody. I think that's different than Steve held back. I can't say that.
Because so I went out too far on that limb, but I do believe that, Larkin and being out there with the best players in the world and the word gets around and those guys are talking. And
look, when Larkin said the team was bummed out that they didn't add, that was a window into the room. And Yzerman clearly didn't take kindly to it. So I'm with you there. But Kevin, that's Yzerman holding himself back. That's the equivalent of a coach who has a system he likes. And the system doesn't work anymore. And instead of hiring a different coordinator, he hires one of his golfing buddies. That's being stubborn.
To your point, about this crowd in Detroit, too. When that all came out, everybody was cheering Yzerman for putting Larkin in his place after that. And that's the kind of attitude you have in the town about Yzerman and how much forgiveness he gets.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Kev, to give you an example of what's out there now, I mean, Kenny, have you heard some of the rumors regarding a player we've joked about?
I've heard rumblings, as the hockey folks would say, about an Erik Karlsson deal.
Right.
That
Malcolm, could be happening. The Malcolm Brogdon of the NHL with his Lego feet.
Right. A broken D man who doesn't play any defense. So
plays no defense. Now, he can be productive offensively.
Very, yes.
And
he
help
can.
Your 5-on-5. But like, Kevin, when you started the summer and you go, okay, this is going to be the summer, right? We got rid of Tarasenko. We got John Gibson. If I said to you your move was Erik Karlsson, and you better pray the Penguins are taking at least half of that money retained, What would your reaction have been?
I'm crying in the towel.
There you go. Kev's on the bench with the towel over his head. That's it. We're done. But think about it. This team had the worst penalty kill in the history of the sport, basically. What have they done to fix it?
That ticket text just came in about 5 minutes ago. The Red Wings had the worst penalty kill last year and literally have the same defense going into next year.
Right.
How is this acceptable?
And again, yes, we're bringing in Axel Sandin Pelikka. Fine. To put that on a rookie is an absurd notion. That he will somehow single-handedly walk through the door and he's Scott Stevens. Like, stop. Yeah, he's Rob Niedermeyer, day one. Yep, got it.
Rob Niedermeyer. What is it, 2003?
Buddy, that's my hockey zenith. We're talking Ulf Samuelsson. Which Samuelsson did you like better, 248?
Adam Foote, would that work there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I got one.
Yes. With an E at the end. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Anthony, 97.1. Anthony, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Mike? Hey, Ben.
Good, man. What's on your mind?
You know, after all these years of Yzerman being here, I would agree with you. It's a complete failure. You know, I've been a longtime hockey fan ever since I was, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper. And seeing him be the GM and people refusing to come here, or, you know, the rumors that people are talking that they don't want to come here because it's hard to work with, it's unacceptable. As a GM, you can't be hard to work with, especially when we're trying to sign top tier talent.
Yeah, and look, let's be clear too. You don't want to be a pushover for agents. You don't want to be an agent's retirement plan where you're overpaying for people and the wrong people. But the idea that Yzerman is not thought well of in the agent community, per reports, then you put this Friedman report, and Elliot Friedman is as good as it gets. He's the Woj of the NHL. Yeah, Anth, I'm failing to see what we got going here exactly. And if the team hasn't made the playoffs, it's because of Yzerman. So therefore, because of his work, it's only making the job harder. Then how can I call it a success?
You can't, you know. And when he first came here, I kind of gave it about 4 years where, you know, if we were sniffing the playoffs, all right, we were building something. But year seven now, and it's nothing. You know, we've got signings. We hear all these reports about the young kids coming up. But what does that do for us now? And, you know, I don't want to just win a championship now and then not win another one for 25 years. So I understand that aspect, but yes. I want to be closer than we are.
I think it's also difficult is I hate using the term like you getting lapped by people. That's not accurate. But like people have passed you. People have, the Ottawas who we used to make fun of have passed you. Montreal has passed you. I mean, Columbus's best player died last summer. They were better than you. The guy died and they were better than you. Like, you just have a hard time squaring the circle on it where you look around and go, okay, well, everything's fine. No, it's not fine. Because in the end, even if you tell me a hockey rebuild is the singular hardest rebuild to execute, I would argue with that and say baseball is. But fine, hockey is certainly more difficult than the NFL, no question. Certainly more difficult than the NBA. But let's not act like a hockey rebuild is curing pancreatic cancer. Those who are good at it are good. And those who aren't, aren't. Sign Buffalo. You either have a guy or you're Buffalo. That's really the long and short of it. You have a guy or you're San Jose. I mean, look, I'm not telling you my team's any great shakes. We hired a dinosaur. Lou Lamoriello graduated with twin brontosaurus. Okay? He was teammates with a T-Rex. Lou Lamoriello, you want to talk about a place nobody wants to play? The Islanders didn't have an arena. Then they did, but it was a dump. Then they had one in Brooklyn where nobody wanted to go to. Then they're at Belmont Park. Nobody wants to be there. The Islanders still have made two conference finals in the time frame. Still have made the playoffs almost every year. And honestly, they're better than you. Even in an injury-riddled season, they're better than you. That's not acceptable. This is the Detroit Red Wings, man. Yeah, the Islanders have four Stanley Cups. When I was still busy messing myself in a diaper, nobody likes the Islanders. The Islanders almost moved to Kansas City under an owner. The Islanders had a fraud. They had a complete con man on the team. Look up David Spano. Come on. We had them. I know. Me too. I had Mike Milbury run my team. This is the Red Wings, man. Come on. We'll get to the rest of the calls. 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. Feedback. I believe nobody wants to play for Eisman. That's what I'm thinking at this point. That's from Nico Livonia. It was a terrible year for free agency. There's not much Steve could do there. That's from an unnamed texter. I know they're two separate entities owned by the same family, but the Tigers didn't blink twice and moved on from Alan Trammell. Why the over admiration of Eisman? Well, I'd have to go back and look at Trammell's timeline, but it feels like Eisman took him from awful to this. And I don't think Trammell was on his way towards this.
When Alan Trammell was manager?
When he got fired.
Alan Trammell was given no resources to work with. He was in a real tough time. I believe was during the transition of Randy Smith to Dave Dombrowski, and they had just made those moves to go get in the offseason. We had 1 year with Fernando Vina, Rondell White, and Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah.
As I recall that season with Pudge Rodriguez in 2005, not exactly a team player. Something happened, and I believe it was in Toronto, where he was in the lineup, was he out of the lineup, and he just didn't come across as being this team guy. And it kind of had a little power struggle there. Tram lost the power struggle. They then went and threw in an interim manager at the time. And then they went hiring Jim Leland the next year. And things obviously changed dramatically. But they also changed dramatically because they took more chances. They had gotten Magaly Ordóñez. You know, they promoted Justin Verlander and Joel Zamaya. And they added Kenny Rogers. It was more of a team that he had. Alan Trammell was not done any favors by the organization in terms of the team that they handed him. It was a tough way to get introduced into managing Major League Baseball when you're not given any resources.
Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Larry. You're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. I've kind of stewed on this for about a week, the Red Wing stuff, and just thinking about it, you guys let me know if this makes sense. I'll make two points. I'll start with the less important of the two. I was at an age, you know, when the Red Wings were in their heyday winning cups, I think they made 6 or 8 conference finals in, you know, 15 or 16 years, whatever it was. And so I guess I look at the franchise like this. I don't get too exercised about draft picks and, you know, what Steve's doing on a month to month or even within like a season. I kind of look at the team structurally. And so the less important of the two, first thing, you know, in a town like Detroit, where the fans and the media have reverence for an original six franchise, a historic franchise, obviously it's the 100th anniversary. You can win in this town, you can lose in this town, but what you can't be is boring. And the Red Wings are boring, from their ownership to the executives, to the coach, to the guys on the club, boring. I mean, there's a reason people know who Darren McCarty is 20 years later. It's because he represented what Detroit is, and people could identify with him. He wasn't a boring player, and they didn't have.
Well, it was a Stanley Cup winning team that he was part of. Darren McCarty was never part of a bad Red Wing team. So, and it's a different era of hockey as well. They don't play that style of hockey anymore. So, what was your other point?
Fair point, but the bigger point is this. For about 20 years, I think between 1990, I'll say between 1990.
Hey, real quick, Larry, because we got others we want to get to. So you're
okay. Yeah. So they were best in class for 20 years.
Yep.
That means ownership, executives, all the way up and down the line. It's a pretty big coincidence if all of Steve's ex-teammates are best in class. The guys running this team are not best in class, and that's what they need to change. So it's not about one window or two. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Did he just play in the support staff?
Maybe.
Okay, and as far as the boring thing's concerned, boring is just another word for losing. I mean, I think it sounds good in theory.
Well, it's
and the guy knew it. You could tell the guy goes way back with the Red Wings, there's very little exciting about losing. You can have interesting personalities. I mean, Darren McCarty, with all respect due, if he were on this team, he'd make a difference, but they still wouldn't be contending. I don't.
It's different hockey. Yeah. That's the, I mean, the thing is, even before the Red Wings won Stanley Cups, when they were an awful team going back to the mid-80s, when they were an awful team, yeah, you can say that they weren't boring because Probert and Kosar were fighting every other shift. You know, both guys had over 300 minutes in penalties, and they were, you know, crazy totals. And, yeah, it was a terrible hockey team that ended up with the top pick overall in 1986 because how bad they were in the, you know, in the 85-86 season. But things did change, but the NHL changed. I mean, that kind of hockey isn't around anymore.
You get about 1 year of being bad but young and exciting. You get about 1 year of, okay, look at all these young guys. They're going to be really good. But you don't get much longer than that before you have to win. The direct correlation between winning and entertainment is, it's not complicated. It's a straight line.
Yeah, nobody knows what the timeline is with Chris Ilitch, but Red Wing fans have their own timeline. You know, and some of those people, Yzerman has crossed it and they're done with him. And I get that. And for me, it's going to take another year of missing the playoffs before I'm in that same spot. We'll see what they add to this team. How they perform in March is going to be huge. Are they going to collapse again? Are they going to be even in a position to make the playoffs at that point? We won't know. It's going to take months before that happens. But right now, not terribly encouraged by what they have going into the season being that much better than what they had. I think they're slightly better, but I'm sure a lot of teams think that they're better than they were last year too.
Jake is next on 97.1. Hello, Jake.
Howdy, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to put in my votes for Champ and Chump.
Yep.
My first vote for Champ is Zach McKinstry because his base running yesterday was just amazing. And my Chump for is Emmanuel Classe for blowing it again against the Tigers. I just think we're in this guy's head, and I love it.
You know, it's weird because he was so close to getting out of that. He was so close, and it felt like, I mean, it felt like the Tigers were in trouble. It's not like Parker Meadows is hitting the cover off the ball, but they managed to get McKinstry as a pinch runner around a third with a stolen base and the review, and then the hit behind the runner, and he gets to third, and there's two outs. Class A was right there, right there.
Oh, I thought we were out for sure, but then I was audibly screaming when they got it that run.
Yeah, no, it was incredible, and then they get to extra innings, and the Tigers just unload on Cade Smith. Absolutely unload. 248-539-9797. Ken is in Howell, and on 97 won the ticket. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I've been listening to all your, not just your programs, but everybody else, and the one thing that doesn't come up in the Red Wings conversations, and I apologize if it did and I missed it, but we did have a coaching change last year, and even though he is a better coach, he still needs time to develop his system and his team. So I don't know if that was put in the equation.
Well, Ken, that's something that was brought up last week. We have not brought that up today, and I'm glad you did, because that's, I mean, the biggest change for the Wings going into the season is that they've got Todd McClellan as the head coach. And, you know, would Todd McClellan have made a 3 or 4 win difference last year if he was coaching the team in the first half of the season, the first 30 games, whatever it was, before they fired Nuzzi? Probably. He may have. And if they did, they'd be a playoff team. But things kind of level out. And Todd McClellan was great. They had those 2 7-game win streaks early on in his tenure. But then March happened. And it happened under his watch. So the Red Wings have a March problem. And that's an organizational problem. They have to figure that out. Why is it that they have these collapses? And it, you know, you don't want to make excuses for anything. Is it an actual problem with the way the team is constructed, or is it just happenstance?
It seems like too much of a coincidence that every year in March, the last several years in March have been really rough for them. Right as we get to the trade deadline. 248-539-9797. Hey, Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is bringing the heat with these sizzling summer deals. Lease a new 2026 Trailblazer LS for just $239 a month for 36 months with $1,999 down. $239 a month for a 26 model year Trailblazer. All you need to activate this deal is a GM employee discount. Don't forget Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. That means they have a huge inventory of Silverados, Equinox, Blazers, and Trax, and EVs, hundreds to choose from. Take advantage of these sizzling summer savings now and Say Sarah. Call 877-SAY-SARAH or go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. See dealer for details and get there fast. All right, tons of people with their strategy, how they get back from up north, as we've got jump boats, people talking about, look, it's a holiday weekend in Michigan, no surprise. A drive back from up north on a Sunday can be very frustrating for many people in the Metro Detroit area, but you also, unless you're kind of going for the first time, you kind of know what you're getting into. So we're kind of responding what the listeners had to say. We mentioned Stephanie Mead, the meteorologist from Fox 2, said it took her 6.5 hours to get home from a up north venue or place, destination. They were normally 4 hours away, 6.5 to get back. Here's the feedback coming in. Hi, this is Amy in my car just listening on my lunch hour. I was in Saugatuck, left early morning Sunday. Took me 3 hours and 15 minutes to get to Grosse Isle. However, my friend that was in Glen Arbor left at 10:30, took her over 9 hours to get home.
Oh, what? Huh?
That's bad.
I think you would have rerouted the hell out of that one.
Oh, there's no way I would have sat through that. Next text. This is a problem with Michigan. Everyone acts like it's the best state ever, but there's essentially one way up north. Tons of people take the same one big construction zero, among other issues. Tons of people take the same one big construction zero. I don't know what that means. It's from Greg in St. Pete, Florida. Total skill issue on the drive back. You either leave later in the day or take Monday off and skip it all. I drove back down from the UP yesterday. I left at 2 and only added 20 minutes to my drive to Grand Rapids. So I'm assuming leaving 2 from the UP is leaving later in the day. That's why the thumb is better than okay. Right by the lake, awesome beach, hour and a half up 94. That's from Todd.
I will say that is a major selling point about the thumb. Caseville, Port Austin, all that up there. Major selling point is that it's close proximity. You're not going to bang your head against the window because of traffic nearly as much. It's an easy drive.
Afternoon, guys. We spent the weekend in Detour Village in the UP, which is typically a five-hour trip. We left at 6 p.m. last night, pit stopped in West Branch, and got home at exactly 11 p.m. We have 4 kids, 8, 6, 4, and 2. Step up your game, Stephanie. That's from Jeff and Dexter. Oh.
Shots fired.
Dominic and Clausen says, Doug must not drink to leave at 4 a.m. F that. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to certainly get a DUI when you try and sleep it off. So, no. At least I don't drink heavily. Might have a beer or two, but...
Keep the genie in the bottle.
Yeah, that's what you do. I'm going to give a lot of props to my wife for some expert navigating around traffic coming home Sunday from Alpena. Drove down some dirt roads here and there, but mostly saw beautiful farmland.
Well done.
Leave Oscoda at 8:30, home at 11, into work at 7. You hit the other groups that are coming from Torch Lake, and they're all doing 80 in no time. Mike in Shelby Township, my girlfriend left Charlevoix at 11:30 a.m. and called me almost in tears after a 7-hour drive. Oof. I left Charlevoix at 7:45 p.m. and made it to Shelby Township in 3 hours and 20 minutes. I should have been an F1 driver. That's from an unnamed texter.
This is what I'm saying. You leave, for me, leaving later at night.
Yep. I mean, some people are better like driving. I personally am better driving early in the morning than late at night. I get way more tired if it's getting later at night than I do if I have to get up ridiculously early. But hey, it's people are different. Traffic was wild this year. My trip yesterday from Roscommon to Richmond was 4 hours. It's usually 2.5, but we just jump off 75 and take the side roads through the thumb home. Stopped at a bar in the thumb for lunch and just make the best of it. And then Kevin says, only happens on 3 major holidays. Avoid the interstates. My typical 3.5-hour interstate drive took me 4:25 yesterday, avoiding the interstate. So there you go. If you have the time, take the back roads. Hopefully that helps. There you go, Stephanie, and others that have struggled when it comes to getting back. 248-539-9797. So, Gator, I would imagine last week, you guys talked quite a bit about the Red Wings' lack of movement.
Yes.
Or lack of what felt like significant movement.
That's the better way to put it. And that's actually how we put it, yes.
Yep. So with that, do you, I mean, are you, we've gotten a lot of chump votes. I feel weird. We got a lot of chump votes for Eisenman. I feel like this thing isn't over. The offseason's not over. But the resources available to improve the roster are starting to dwindle here a little bit, right? I mean, you go into a free agency with big ideas, big dreams, big plans, and then you watch names that either don't reach the open market like Ekblad or ones that go elsewhere like Marner. And you start focusing on that next tier of free agents and then the next tier of free agents. Now you're like, well, maybe there's a trade.
Y'all better win a game.
Yeah, kind of. Which is what your coach said to you when you guys were losing every week.
In the throes of a losing streak mm-hmm. that lasted the entire season.
Anyway, with that said, what was the overall take? It doesn't sound based upon the feedback today.
No, people are not happy. People are they're done with Steve Yzerman. A lot of the listeners that called in and the people that texted, they're done with him. And I'm not there yet because I know that this offseason isn't done yet. When they traded for DeBrincat, it was the second week in July. We've seen other players. I think people have brought up the one of the Tkachuk trades took place at like July 22nd a few years ago. So there's time to make trades still. And Steve Yzerman is not going to tell us what his plan is. I mean, he did mention it at the exit press conference that, or I should say that like the free agency press conference, that there are teams that are willing to move some players and he's going to be in contact with those teams and see if it's the right fit. Now, does it happen in the offseason? You would hope it happens in the offseason. But like I said, I'm not there to say this guy's not getting the job done. He's done a pretty good job drafting. But as far as adding players to this team to make them playoff ready, it's not happened. He's added players to this team over the years that have brought more adults into the room and kind of been bridge players to make this team better so they can experience some kind of success rather than just losing game after game after game. And it's not that long ago. This is the worst team in hockey by 20 points. And yet they didn't get the top pick overall. In fact, that pick went to a playoff team, which makes no sense, but that's neither here nor there. So as time has gone on, he's added more of those players that like bridge players, but meanwhile, the Red Wings are mired in purgatory for the NHL. Good enough to compete for a playoff spot, but not good enough to clinch it. And it's been three straight years in March that they've had these, you know, dismal display of hockey where it results in them not finding a playoff spot. So for me, I'm not there saying he's got to go, but I can be there if this team doesn't make the moves necessary to get them to that level by next the trade deadline, which I know nobody wants to wait that long for it. But I mean, if they don't get something done before the start of the season, I'm going to be taking that step in the direction. If then you get to the trade deadline and they still don't do something to improve the team and they don't make the playoffs, then I'll be on that side that says he's going to have to go. But it's a longer runway for me because I see a brighter future ahead for this team because I do think that they've got some really good prospects that are going to have to matriculate over the next year or two. I'm curious to see the competition that comes into play in training camp from these players if they can make this roster. But yeah, I do think they have to add to this team right here and now. But if you told me that his plan is to hang on, you know, for a trade at the deadline to acquire Kyle Connor, right? Local kid,
yeah.
Winnipeg player who's had a fantastic year, over 90 points last year, and he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. If Winnipeg finds himself in a position that they're going to have to trade him because they know they're not going to be able to re-sign him, and the Red Wings come calling, and that's the move they're going to do, and they've created all this cap space so they can give him a $12 million a year contract or whatever it is it's going to take to get him, then I think we'll all be okay with that. But it's waiting for that to happen. Nobody wants to wait for it. We want it now because we've been waiting forever for this team to get going.
Waiting forever. And you know, do I think that there's a plan other than free agency? Do I think he's working on trades? Do I think he's got maybe even the groundwork laid and just putting something together that could help this team? Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. I mean, I go back to last week when or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, when everybody was outraged when he said he wasn't going to buy anybody out, and then he moved Tereschenko and actually didn't have to keep any of the salary. And that was a good move. He had another plan, and the plan worked. This idea that there's another plan to add to the roster, I mean, it's one of the most obvious things to do is to sign a free agent of substance. But it feels like the last few seasons, the free agent signings have been so underwhelming. Why would we believe that this year is going to be any different as far as what's left? And then B is, you know, go out and make a trade? Sure. But those are hard to project. You don't know who's going to be shopped to them. I just hope there's a plan. And I suspect that there is, and that there's things in the works behind the scenes, and there's plan B.
Well, yeah, and we hear the GM say all the time, and it's not just Steve Eisen. We've heard Scott Harris say this. I think we've even heard Brad Holmes say it. You got to have two to tango. You got to find a trade partner, somebody who's willing to trade somebody to you. But in the meantime, you've seen some pretty good hockey players either get signed to offer sheets last year that help make teams playoff ready. You've seen teams trade for some superstars in the league like Ratanen, who has traded twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are ways to get things done. Again, do the Red Wings, can they be that trade partner for somebody else? Seems like they've got a bunch of prospects they can move to get somebody. But as more and more players get no trade clauses or limited trade clauses, it's becoming harder and harder to get that done when the Red Wings are not a team that is in the thick of the playoff discussion. Because who wants to come to a team that's not playoff ready?
All right, Gator sounds concerned about a new TV show you've started to watch. I want details on this. We'll get to that next hour. Plus your phone calls and feedback. Champ and Chump, last chance to get your votes in the 1 o'clock hour. Who had the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? 248-539-9797. 97.1 The Ticket.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
On my podcast, Aspire with Em Agreed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Em Agreed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, if you're looking for Tiger baseball, we opened with it. Super positive, great weekend, and I think it was more meaningful than just three games, including a bold declaration. All positive, but just something bold. We're talking Iserman, Elliot Friedman. I thought it was pretty damning stuff. He had the, 30 thoughts, 30 teams. Let me summarize. Players don't want to play here. We've read the reports. Agents find Iserman arguably the most difficult guy in the league to work with. This is going to be a hard product to sell to fans. Friedman's words, not mine. They haven't made the playoffs in a long time, too long. What have we bitched about? But then we get scolded. This is the problem. This is also the issue. Look, let me just say this too. And I know I sound a little bit like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, like snarling. This is the problem when we've lost free thought. And what I mean by that is we live in an era now where if you're a Red Wings fan, a diehard, a devotee, you can create a world where everything's positive all the time. And I'm not singling any specific person out. I think this is every team in every town and every sport. You get these fan pods and fan blogs, and then the worst part is the teams are like credentialing these people. And it's like, yeah, because you're a part of the PR army. And then fans, when they listen to open discourse, which is what we do, it is instead of viewed as open discourse, it's viewed as acerbic, toxic, negative, agenda-driven. No. The goal is we want a parade. We all want to be together at a parade. Anything short of that is failure. It's bad. When you haven't made the playoffs in a decade, it's bad. It's okay to just say that. Hey, how was your day today? I got hit by an effing car. I had a bad day. Like, it's okay to say that. No, you don't have to be laid up in a body cast going, well, golly gee, things could be worse. Yes, it could have been a semi and you're dead. Great. Now that we've established that, it was a pretty lousy Monday. You got hit by a car. So that is just part of the issue I take is we're losing the ability to have real conversations because the waters get polluted with frankly, propaganda.
And it's all social media, if you ask me. If you go online, you can basically create a social circle where you don't see anything to the opposite opinion. You just follow the people that say what you want to hear.
How do you think we got to where we got in politics?
Oh, it's 100%.
It's the same thing. It's 100%. Just a translation of cable news to sports.
But that's where the team almost needs to be a stopgap when they're credentialing these people that run like fan blogs. It's like, okay,
why?
Not a member of the media.
No, but if you're the team, it's a smart thing to do.
It is, but if you want to control the message. Then
sell tickets,
absolutely.
Control message, and single out what? Voices of dissent become bad. See, it used to be you just disagree. If you don't agree, it's fine. But I don't think there's any agenda other than what's the job description? Fix the Red Wings. 6 years later, headed into year 7, not fixed remotely. Now, again, if we were making the playoffs every year and you're like, we can't get over the hump, totally different conversation. Guys, more than half teams make playoffs. Teams that were good when you sucked, started to suck, got good again in the time that you still suck.
Yeah, multiple teams did that. That's just unacceptable. In year 7, that can't be what what's funny is you said this last segment is we were targeting B+, B level players. We couldn't even land those guys.
No.
Like that. This is supposed to be, I was raised on, this is the Detroit Red Wings. You're always going to be a destination. You're an original six team. And you have a guy who's an NHL legend who is now struggling to get players to even think about. Ehlers wouldn't even pick up the phone for you.
And I think the most dangerous, and again, I view the Red Wings like the New York Yankees of hockey. I do. And if you don't like that comparison, then the Boston Celtics of hockey or the Lakers of hockey. Like the Red Wings are the business. The Red Wings are the standard. And if it's thought of way worse than that, that falls at Iserman's feet. The last part, and then I'll get to the people, I promise. But there's a lot to unpack with this Friedman thing. If we're reaching defiance stage, that's dangerous. Whether you do a radio show, whether you're a chef, whether you're a trim carpenter, if what you've been doing isn't working, and changes are necessary in order for you to be successful, and you get defiant and attracted, you'll fail. And when you read the comment, even if nobody else believes in what he's doing, he thinks he's doing the right thing, and that is drafting and developing guys. That's very dangerous. Now, if he's here long enough, maybe it'll all work out. Year 8, year 10, year 12. I'm talking about today. I think judgment's absolutely fair. Go ahead, Kenny. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It was just when you say we're at the defiant stage, brother, I think we've been at the defiant stage for a couple of years now.
I know.
I think since the DeBrincat trade, I feel like that's kind of where we've been. I think that was his, all right, here you go. Here, you got your guy. I made the big splash. Is everybody happy? And then since then, nothing.
But even DeBrincat's a B-level guy.
100%.
He's not an A guy.
Because we can't get A guys.
And if you can't get A guys and you haven't produced A guy, and again, I want to be careful. Like, we liked what we saw from Casper last year.
Yep.
But don't get it twisted. That's not Lane Hutson.
No.
Different positions.
He's on the way up.
Right.
Steve's drafting has never been in question.
But different impacts.
100%.
Right? Like, if you can't get the A guys and we haven't produced the A guy, what's the money for exactly?
I stopped myself from saying it several times during the first two segments of this.
It's okay.
That is entirely my mindset on this.
I understand. So, look, let's have the conversation. We'll get to the ticket text. Callers, I do appreciate your patience on it. I know we've been blowhards. But it's just that Elliot Friedman three paragraphs was a lot to unpack. Let's see where it goes. 248-539-9797. Your phone calls next. 97.1.
The Red Wings. You and I talked a little bit about them on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, long holiday weekend. Maybe people didn't get a chance to hear what we thought of Yzerman's offseason, but there's clearly frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people want to point out, well, there's only so much Steve could do. I saw a report from Elliot Friedman. The Red Wings had interest in Nikolaj Ehlers, who did not have interest in meeting with Detroit.
I think Grigorkov, or whatever his name is, the defensive from L.A., who played for Todd McClellan,
yep,
wanted to go to New York immediately.
Do we have a reputation problem here with our hockey team?
Well, I don't know if it's the hockey team or it's that we're not a glorious city in other people's minds.
Oh, here we go, Sophie Cunningham all over again.
I don't know. I mean, the reason we got guys years ago, besides the no cap deal, we did get guys when there was a cap, is the fact that this team was really good. But as you pointed out before the show, this is not just an Yzerman thing. This has been going on for a while.
Oh, I don't bring this up necessarily to stick up for Steve.
No, I know.
But it is just a history lesson. I remember, was it 2012, Parise and Suter?
Yeah.
We're going to get these two great USA hockey studs. They're going to extend what had been kind of the end of the era of Red Wing hockey.
Right.
And instead they go to Minnesota. Now, neither player turned out to be what they were supposed to be.
No, and they both were from there and all that. So I understood.
But we didn't get those guys.
Right.
And we haven't gotten meetings with big names. Stamkos in his prime didn't meet with us.
Right.
Stamkos last year, it didn't sound like, even as he was exiting his prime, gave us much of a thought. Now we can't even get a meeting with Nikolaj Ehlers? The guy's never scored 30 goals in a season.
I know.
He's a definition of secondary scoring. Like, we brought him up as a name because of a pretty dry free agency class.
Correct. It's all about winning.
But we can't even get a meeting with Nikolaj Ehlers? Like, I mean, some of this is a question of what does it mean to be an original six franchise with top-notch facilities and a history? The answer's very little.
No. If the team is not a team, guys, now look, the money's huge, number one, not compared to other sports, but the money differential from one team to the other is not going to be that much to sway somebody, I don't think. Now these guys, it seems for the most part, they want to go someplace where they have a chance to win. I mean, say what you want about Marner, and he, you know, made a lot of money and all that stuff. But Vegas is really freaking good. Mm-hmm. If Vegas was a team that wasn't really good, would he have gone there? I don't think so.
Right. Would the Panther players stay there if the team was struggling to make the playoffs?
No.
Yeah, but the tax breaks. No. I don't think it has the same appeal if you're not winning.
No.
So if anything, it's not like to defend Yzerman. It's more of an indictment that they haven't created a winning product to lure in.
Which is he should take some responsibility for, no doubt.
Or even get the meeting.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing he goes, hey, I'd rather play for Carolina, or they offered me $500,000 a year more.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Detroit? Nah. I'm not going to take the Zoom. I'm not going to fly out. I'm not going to give him the time of day. Ehlers.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid.
No.
Ehlers won't meet with us. What does that say about the state of Hockey Town? And I use the word Hockey Town because it is more than just the team. Are we not this destination that we think we are?
I think we're just like every other team.
So it doesn't matter that you're Original Six, you got the coolest logo in the sport, that your arena's nearly brand new.
To somebody who's from Denmark, I don't think he gives a rat's ass about the Original Six, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean,
no, it's just an honest, fair, blunt conversation.
At first, I thought, you know, Swedes usually really like it. Then I looked it up and he's not from Sweden. He's from Denmark.
Okay. Yeah. So he doesn't give a. Yeah. No. But this is a theme. This isn't just one player.
No.
We don't get meetings with the big name guys. I mean, Marner's had his mind made up.
Yeah.
He was going to Vegas.
Right.
Parise and Suter. All the way back more than a decade ago, they were going to extend the window. Well, they went to Minnesota, didn't really get a chance. Stamkos in his prime, I remember gearing up. This is going to be, well, at least get a meeting. Ken Holland couldn't get a meeting. We can't even get meetings with these guys. I mean, step one is get the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, forget about signing any of these guys, impact players in free agency. They won't meet with us.
You need to have guys who can also recruit. Players on your team that can recruit.
I had a little light bulb go off in my head.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dylan Larkin's comments after the season hurt this team.
Optically? In the eyes of free agents?
He said it publicly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was at the Four Nations. These people talk. People talk around the league.
But the Four Nations was pre-deadline.
No, no. What's they hurt? People talk. Players from other teams talk to each other.
Do you think he was bad-mouthing the city that he grew up on?
He's just talking to guys he played with at the Four Nations after the season or something like
that. Oh, okay.
He built relationships. They were together for 2.5-3 weeks.
Sure.
And, you know,
maybe he vented to them, you're saying?
If word has percolated around the league a little bit.
Well, Ticket to Extra points that out. It says maybe it's Steve who has the reputation for not wanting to give out term or high dollars.
Well, they'll give out high dollars. He's not going to do 8-year contracts anymore. Well, the CBA is not going to allow him to do that next year anyway. When they lower that.
He have a reputation of being kind of a grinder with deals.
Yes.
Right? Like hard line. And he doesn't have a bad contract on this team right now.
No.
So that's the other side of the coin. But if you're a free agent where you are hitting the open market to leave your current team, you're doing it with the idea that you're going to break the bank.
Correct.
And Steve Yzerman is not a general manager who is a break the bank guy. So that's a conflict when you get to free agency.
Because
if they have to overpay, but your GM doesn't, like Steve Yzerman may go, well, yeah, Ehlers $8.5 million is stupid for a guy who's never scored 30. And he may be right, but then you end up in this scenario where you're not a destination and you won't overpay. Right. So you're never going to get anybody.
I mean, it would never happen because he's at the end of his career, but you need, like, let's say there's a few good, really good players that become available who grew up watching. I forget the name of the player, but at the draft, you know, his favorite player growing up was Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of players in that vein who loved Patrick Kane, one of the great players in this era. You know, a guy like that's got to recruit. I mean, that's what you need. And he's not going to do that. I don't blame him.
First of all, he didn't even sign until the night before free agency. Right. So his recruiting pitch may have fallen on deaf ears.
Yeah. Well, that was true. That's true. But you get my point. In basketball, this happens all the time. These guys, they call each other and they recruit. And maybe Gov's right, where they call the other way around and say, you don't want to go here.
I'm hearing some bad things. Reputation, do we have an issue? 248-539-9797. I think part of the reason we got Patrick Kane is because we had Alex DeBrincat.
Yes.
Their connection going back to Chicago, and now their kids are buddies, and Kane likes living here.
Right.
Right? But I don't know that we get him if we don't have DeBrincat. And I don't think we get DeBrincat unless he grew up here. Right?
Probably.
So I know people roll their eyes at, you know, we point out when guys grew up here, like, you know, I brought up Kyle Connor last week, or Jason Robertson has come up. Like, there's a reason we bring those guys up, because at least you can't appeal to that. You've lived here. Because I think people who are listening who live here know that whatever the reputation is of this area outside of here is not the reality once you're here.
Of course not. I mean, I'm a perfect example. Yeah. I thought I'd be here for a year.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Like, I'll do a year in Detroit bounce over to the East Coast.
Yeah, check it out. See what happens. The next thing you know, I'm here for 40 years almost.
But if they don't ever get, like, if you're drafted here and you right. see it, you love it. If you're traded here, you grew up here. Yeah, we see that.
Or if you're lucky and you know you're a citizen of this great country, and you actually, you know, lived in, you know, Plymouth or wherever that area with the U.S. developmental team, and you know, billeted here or lived here for 2 years or whatever before college, before you were drafted and liked it here, you got a chance there. The bottom line is the team's no good. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, because you're right. When we were able to add Hull and Robitaille, there was no cap, but you're also joining a juggernaut, right? You had Hasek in the pipes, and you had Yzerman with Shanahan and Fedorov at Lidstrom. Yeah. It's a little easier to get guys to squeeze in and into that world. Because the Panthers squeezed in. Those guys took less.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We got to pay more. Other teams will get guys for less.
Correct. Because you're good, or you're a destination.
Texter says the Wings are a dead destination. Ehlers said he didn't want to go to Canada or Original Six. He specifically wanted a no-pressure market. Dude is soft. I'm not telling you I wanted to live and die with landing Nikola Ehlers.
No.
But yeah, that is an indictment if that's true. Players don't want to meet with us because the team's bad. Whose fault is that? Yet another amongst the many black eyes for Steve Yzerman.
Right.
Guys, we're not a destination for athletes or even tourism. We only get bad free agents. We're a championship contender. That's the only other time we'll get guys, or if we overpay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.